All right, you ready to learn about the power of the blood? Listen, for most of us that were raised in the church, especially the Pentecostal churches, oh my goodness, the blood of Jesus was so honored. The blood of Jesus was such a big deal. It was the blood, the blood, the blood. The preachers preached about the blood. We sang about the blood. We pleaded the blood. I remember being a little girl out there saying, what are they pleading the blood for? Pleading, pleading the blood. And the songs, it just seemed like the songs went over and over with revelation that would just flow out of these songs. And the songwriters, you all know it. A lot of you are shaking your head. You remember those old hymnals. They were full of blood songs. And then you know what? The Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church and a lot of those mainstream organized churches did, they took those blood songs out of the book. They said, we don't want to have a bloody song book. Well, look at them now. They're no more. Most of them aren't. And so I'll be forever grateful, and I know you will too. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2:13. I want us to just look at this. I don't know, I thought this morning, God, this was something that our pastors knew and our bishops knew and their wives knew, because that little wife of the pastor, she'd sit over on the piano, and the minute the altar call would start, she'd start playing blood songs. Well, when I get old enough to be in the music team, my sister and I, and Diane Miller, and our dad, and a drummer, man, they'd start casting out a devil. On Sunday night, it was like devil casting out night. And we would sing every blood song we knew, and then we'd run them over again like a video. You just kept, Pastor, we can keep those blood songs going. We are, Pastor. But here's what I think. They knew, and they taught us. Look at Ephesians 2:13. This is so sweet, or powerful, I'll say. I can say sweet. Did I say 2:13? Would you mind going to 11? Come on, Sister Kathy. Paul writing to us from a prison, of course. 2:11, Ephesians. Therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time, you were without Christ. How many remember when you were without him? That was not a pretty picture, was it? Is that all you remember, Paul says? You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope. If you weren't Jew, if you weren't from Israel, you weren't Jewish, you had no hope. You were without God in this world. Oh, but somebody say those next two words. But now. Somebody say, but now. See, this is you and me now. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once way out there. You were once far off. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. That's what they knew. That's why they so sung about him and his blood, because it brought us close to him. I remember those old wooden altars, and they were painted brown. They were painted brown, and they were shiny, and I guess they had been stained. And I remember 13, 14, 15, young teenage girl going down there, and I would be praying, and my tears would just stain on top of other stains, and if for some reason it turned to stain on those old brown altars, like really light gray. And they were already stained. And I didn't appreciate that then, but it must have been, it had to be, Sister Lynn, that they kept telling us. You were once way out there. You had no hope whatsoever. But now you're close to Him. You can come into the Holy of Holies. You can lift your head up. I don't care if you were a cocaine addict or spent your entire life in prison. He says, you were once that, but now, you've come close to God. And he said, just get your head up, your shoulders back, and a spring in your step, and you go on in with holy boldness into the throne of God. Just go on in with boldness. You don't have to crawl in. You don't have to be ashamed. Say, oh God, look what I've done. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you. But now. All right, we got so much to do. Let's just go on. We can stop right there. But it says, in Christ, it brought us close to God. Well, I don't have a piano player, and I don't sing as well as I used to. But how many could care less? You didn't want to answer or what? Remember, old Lynn, we sung this song so much. Portia, you know, we'll go to our graves probably singing this song. Gina, you're raised on it. So many of you. Are you washed in the blood? Sing it with me. In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. And then it went, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And he would sing that after, the band would sing that after he preached. And if you were sitting there and you had a spotty garment, oh no, it's like, oh, we're under grace, honey, we can get by with it. It's like, oh no, you've got dirty garment, you better get that garment changed. Get yourself up here and get that soul washed. Are you washed in the blood? And they would just go on and sing about 25 times. Finally, they'd start getting up and trickling out of the bag and getting down there to go through the car wash. Go down there and get cleansed. And then we just, there was medleys. In fact, I asked Chris to do a little medley this morning, and he's going to tag a song on it that he wrote. And then we'd go out of that, and most of the time, old Diane would take us into, let me get it lower. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. That does what? That washes white as. Just in case you forgot it in the first song, we'll pick it up here that he'll take a black heart that is turned red by the blood and make it as white as snow. That's what he did. So, and then from that we would go on to something else, like, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And you should have heard the verses. I mean, they were power-packed. They were just power-packed. And then we would go into something like, it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. And then it tells you what? Oh, that blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. now. Never. Never. It has never lost one ounce of its power. And the thing that we need the most, we sing less about, we preach less about. God forgive me. But it is so power. No wonder we sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. In the Lamb, my Lord, my Lord. Oh, let me pull this down. Here's a song. I never liked this song. It was written in like, to me, it was written in like King James language. But when I grew up, I'm thinking, my Lord, what kind of man or woman could write like that? Who could write like that except maybe someone from heaven? Listen to what this song says. Maybe you remember this. There is a fountain. Listen to these words. Kathy, can you type this real quick? It's not much. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel, God is with us. All sinners plunged beneath that flood of blood, lose all their guilt and stains. And then it, just in case you didn't get it, the writer said again, lose all their guilt and stains. Lose all their guilt and stains. Did it go back to that? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I had to go to the Pearson clinic the other day and get some blood drawn out of my veins. But that was just plain old American blood. Thaw. But you know what? When it came out of Jesus' hands and his feet and his side and his head, that blood was all over him. It's all over the cross. It's dripping off his feet into the ground. It's all in the soil. No wonder they said, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, if we want to go all, yeah, I'm going to go to Leviticus. I'm going to go back to the book of Leviticus because, you know, it started way back there. When Adam and Eve found out they were naked, God killed an animal, shed the animal's blood to take care of their wrong, to take care of their first sin, killed an animal, drained the blood, skinned it, and made them skins to walk around in, to cover them. They were covered. Their nakedness was covered. The fig leaves wouldn't do it. See, people today, they're always trying to cover themselves with something, but nothing will cover it. But the what? The B-L-O-O-D, the blood. That covers it all. That's what covers it. Hallelujah. So read this with me. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Kathy, we may read down a couple of them. Just follow me. Leviticus 17, 11. God says this while he's still using the blood of goats and lambs and rams. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Could we read that one more time? Read it out loud with me. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's enough. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Now, atonement means cover. Remission means it's just totally gone. The sin is washed away. I mean, it's over. It's not going to be thought of again. It's gone. But these guys just had a temporary forgiveness, just temporary with that atonement. Verse 12, therefore, look at this, therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. But whatever man of the children of Israel or of strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal, bird, or may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. Why? For it is the life of the flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, or the life of the flesh is its blood. Whoever eats of it shall be cut off. Now, life is in the blood. There is life in the blood. You can't, no scientist, nobody can put life in the blood, because that life belongs to God. Now, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings right now, okay? If you just lost a loved one, I don't want to be rude or hurt your feelings, but this is the truth of the matter, and you know it. So as long as, right now, you can touch us, our bodies are warm, and because the blood is warm that's in us, but when we die, when our spirit takes off, when our soul is gone, spirit is gone, what happens? What happens? Everything gets cold. The skin gets cold because the life that was in the blood is gone. The life was the breath of God that he breathed into Adam and Eve. So now he called it back, and now there's no more life. So the body gets cold because the blood runs cold. Hallelujah. Now Hebrews 9:22, we won't turn there, but it says without the blood. Now in that day, it was without the blood of animals, a goat or ram or lamb. Without that blood, there was no atonement. They couldn't even get covered. Their sins weren't covered for a year or a little while or temporarily. So they had to have this. When we go into the New Testament and Jesus shed his blood, that was a whole different story. Because it says now there is no remission. He changes the subject. There is no remission of sins without the blood. So when you and I ask for his forgiveness and we stayed serving him, he took our sins totally away. They're no longer there. There's not a trace of it. There's a big difference between atonement and remission. Remission means it's gone. Atonement means you just covered. So, you know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, repent. And then it says, turn from your wicked ways. So when you repent, and if you're living with someone, you're sleeping in a bed with them, that's adultery, and you're not married. Now again, I'm not after you. I don't even know who's here today. But I'm just telling you. So if you repent, say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, then that means you're either going to have to get married or you're going to have to split up from that person. And you have to quit using God's name in vain. Pastor, come on. You just said there's no remission of sins without the blood. I've been covered. Well, quit damning things. Okay, don't you ever use that word. One man sat in my office. He was so angry because he paid a man in the church to paint his house while he was on a cruise. Came home, the man didn't paint, and that man sat right there in my office and said, I want my so-and-so money. And he used God's name in vain. Number one, he had to be totally ignorant. Number one, he couldn't have even been saved to use that word, especially in front of his pastor in the church, but that's neither here nor there. Christians don't use that. So I said, brother, let me give you a little piece of advice right here. You know I love you. And I'm going to love you as much when you leave here as when you came in. But you're not going to get that money, because you just damned it to a devil's hell. Kiss that money goodbye. You ain't getting it. And I'm going to ask God to make sure you don't get it. You don't need it. I don't know. I just threw that out there for whatever. But Jesus' blood carries life in it. It doesn't carry damnation. It doesn't carry ugliness. It doesn't carry decay in it. It's life. This is why, you guys, we have communion here every last Sunday of the month. Some churches take it every week, but we take it once a month to remember. Jesus said, that sweet Jesus. Our sweet Jesus said to us, as often as you do this, would you remember me? What he was saying is, remember my death. Remember the blood I shed. Remember how my body was broken up. So that's why we do it. And then Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life. Now you and I still have the same red blood. Doesn't matter where we came from. We still got the same red blood. But when Jesus came into our heart and we received him as Lord, then listen, we took on brand new life. His life is in the blood. He made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. You're not even the same. And you, listen to this, you are his personal property. I mean, you belong to him. Personal. Now let me read to you a verse that I read most of the time when we have communion, but let me give this to you. Did you get John 6:53? And the disciples did not like this. Say, well, I don't understand a message, Pastor. Well, they didn't understand Jesus either. So I'm comforted with that. But this was a big verse to understand. And you'll see what I'm saying. Look at John 6:53. Then Jesus said to them, those who were gathered around him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and unless you drink his blood, you have no what in you. You don't have life. So you look at some of your family members, you look at people you work with, you're like, they don't have life. And then you get upset and hurt about something. You say, I thought I had life. No, you can get through it. Man, you get through things all by yourself. It would just kill that person that you work with. They'd have to go get a drink, get a drug, get a girl, get a guy. And you just go right on through that old fire, and you hate it as much as they hate it. But the only thing is, you've got a helper. He said, you have no life in you if you don't. Look at this. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has what? Eternal life. And you just have it all the time. And when you die, it's not going to stop. It's just going to... That body might be cold, but that doesn't mean a thing. Because you're living in this eternal life. And he says, I'll raise you up at the last day. Don't worry about it. The life is in my blood. Hallelujah. Well, you know, church, wouldn't it be amazing? How many of you have ever had to have blood given to you? You went through a surgery, you lost blood, you had to have blood. Okay. They went over to the blood bank and got that blood for you. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus' blood filled that blood bank? Oh, my goodness. I thought if his blood filled that blood bank, we'd all be healed. Everything would be gone. Your loved one would jump out. Who's sick? Who's dead? Everything would be just so perfect. I remember one time my cousin was over at Kauia, and she had cancer, 4 stage. It was getting bad, and so her platelets kept dropping, so she had to keep getting blood. And so she called me. She says, I'm going to get blood today. Could you come over and bless it? And I said, well, sure I will, Sharon. I'll be over there as soon as I can. And I went over, and, you know, I've seen the blood hanging on the rack, and I was ready to. She goes, but I want you to pray over it. I said, sure, sure I will. So the nurse comes in here, and the nurse walks into a room with a little cold chest, just like you put your sodas in. She comes in with this ice chest, opens that, it's blue, just like yours, a blue bottom, white top, flips the top open, and it's full of bags of blood. And so Sharon says to her, I want my pastor to anoint that and pray over it. Oh, of course. And instead of the nurse hanging it up on the little thing, she does this to me. And I look at that, you guys, I just started going. Everything started going black. I was just fainting like I did at your wedding. Now, wasn't it nothing about the wedding? It was just 110 degrees, and we'd been out there a long time. But with that, man, I don't know. You guys, that never happened to me again. Never did before. But the blood is powerful. You men, I mean, you get a little sticker, and you men see blood. It's like, ah, honey, honey, honey. I'm over-exaggerating, but you know how you guys are. While I'm meddling, I'll say this. My husband used to come in off the ranch out there, kick his boots off outside, come in, and he'd come in, not much, never sick, come in like this. I said, what's the matter, honey? What's wrong? I thought maybe he got kicked by a horse or, you know, a cow did something to him, stepped on him. I got a headache. Okay, no more meddling. Let's get back. So, we're not going to go. But if we went over to chapter 12 in Exodus, and I've used this to you before too. Exodus chapter 12, the people of Israel are getting ready to go out. And Moses told them, he says, now you guys get dressed, get your sandals on your feet, keep your staff in your hand, and get dressed. Now he said, you kill the birds, you get the blood, get a little branch of hyssop, and you paint the blood over your doorpost. Because the death angel's going to come in, and he's going to kill every firstborn of all the Egyptians. Every firstborn child is going to die. But now, you, God's people, you get the blood over the doorpost and eat the lamb. You get a perfect lamb out of the flock. Make sure it has no blemishes. It has to be perfect. And eat it in the evening. And make sure it's a male lamb. Well, Jesus was a male lamb. He was without spot. He was perfect. And he died in the evening. A whole picture of Jesus in Exodus 12. And they were told by Moses, God told Moses, tell them to eat the lamb. Every house takes a lamb. If they have a small family, they can just get one lamb and eat it. If they got a huge family and got people living with them, tell them to get two or three, but make sure they have enough meat. So they had to eat the lamb before they left Egypt, before they started on their way. Eat the lamb and then put the blood over the doorpost. And it happened just exactly like Moses said it would. They ate the lamb. Put the blood over the doorpost, and the death angel came through the camp. And they lived in Egypt, so they were kind of mingled in with the Egyptians. Can you imagine sitting in your house that night, and your family just feasted on a lamb, which was the meat of the day? They just feasted on that lamb. It was so good. Had the blood over their doorpost. They're sitting there with their little lanterns, their little lights. And all of a sudden, they heard the blood-curdling scream of their neighbor crying out, my baby, my baby, my baby. People screaming out all over while Israel sat there because of the atonement. They were covered. You and I are covered. And not only that, but we have, hallelujah, the remission of sins. The death angel just passed over. There's things that the devil would like to do, but God passes over. The blood is upon you. Now, I'm going to quit here, but listen, learn to plead the blood of Jesus over your family, over your finances. If you're going to buy a car, plead the blood over the right car, and make it so real to you. You say, I know, but you know what I like to say? In the mornings, Lord, or Father, 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 I know that you see the blood over there on the mercy seat. You see it in person, and you know who that blood belonged to. That was your baby. That was your big boy. That was your only son. There was Mary's baby. That was the carpenter's son. He's everything to you. And you know that's not the blood of a goat or a bull. You know that's your precious boy's blood. So, Lord, I'm going to bring that blood to you. And I'm asking you to put that blood over 2380 West Olive, over our church and all the people in it this morning. You know where they are. Some are at work, some are at home, some are at the hospital, some wherever they are. They're out in the backyard feeding the dog. Put the blood over them. Put the blood over my children, over my daughter, my son-in-law, my grandchildren, my family. Talk about that blood. See that blood in heaven. It's so powerful, church. Oh, maybe I'll have to take another couple of days. Okay, I mean, not right now, but later on in the month. Kathy, pull up Acts 20 and 28, and I'll be done, because Roman is not about to take me to Red Lobster now. It's over. I only get so long to do this. And I've never got one meal at Red Lobster yet because I always take too long. It's a good man of God. Isn't it just a precious man of God to treat his pastor like that? He offers. Okay. Acts 20:28. Therefore, look. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. To you, not your brother, not your sister, not your wife. No, not your husband. You take heed to yourself, and he tells me, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. I know I am. I'm a woman, but you know what? I'm a pastor. And so if you can't respect me, at least respect the office. And if you don't respect me, just go somewhere where you'll respect whoever it is, because it's not worth it. But I'm a shepherdess here to oversee the flock, the church of God, which he, it's a capital H, he purchased with his own blood. He didn't pay for the church with money. He wasn't he was a billionaire when he was in heaven, but he came here and he was in poverty. He had nothing down here. So he purchased the church, you and me. He purchased all of us, Brother BJ, with his blood. That was it. All of his blood. All of it. Every drop of blood in him. Okay, so how are we going to activate the blood of Jesus every single day? How are we going to do this? Well, Revelation tells us, put that up, Kathy. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, most of you know it. And they overcame him, who's Satan? That's a little H, Satan. They overcame him by what? Read it. Let's read it again. By what? That's how we overcame him. And by what? The word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. He said, it was all about my blood. So church, use your testimony. What is your testimony? You got all your bills paid off? Or your home is paid for? Or you got healed from stomach cancer? Or God brought you through the fire of the divorce? You didn't know what you were going to do with that rowdy neighbor, and you pleaded the blood, and always, you will overcome everything and anything. We just read it. You will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Amen. Stand on your feet with me. Wonderful Jesus. Look, my husband and daughter had just passed, and my car was in the accident, and I was driving his truck. And it was time I needed a car because I was still traveling a little bit, and or getting ready to, so I was still just going local. And I went to buy a car, and my brother had always gone with me. Or would go with me. I knew my older brother to pick the car out for me. Of course, I never had to do that. My husband was always by the car. And I heard the Holy Spirit said, I will pick out your car. I will choose your car. You trust me. I went to Visalia, and I drove around. And I remember I drove past this. It was a used car lot. The car was about 2 years old. and there was a white Lincoln Town Car. Now, I'm only 35 years old. That's an old woman's car for a 35-year-old, okay? But it's a big old boat town car with blue interior. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, I was at the stop sign. It's right there is your car. That's the one. So I go over. I was so sure that was it. And so I went to the salesperson, and I said, I want to buy that car right there. He said, you want to drive it? I said, no, I don't need to drive it. I know you men are gasping for air. And I said, no, I don't need to drive it. That's the one I'll take. And he said, well, come on in and we'll sit down. And I said, but I got to tell you this. Here's how much money I have down. Here's how much I was going to have to put it on payments. And here's how much I can pay every month for the car. So he took it to his boss. He came back. He said, it's not going to work, but we can do it for $200 over there. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. So it has to be right here because I had prayed and I sought the Lord and I had peace about it. That's what I can do. So he went back in. He came back out. He says, well, we've got it down to $50 over. And I go, no, I can't do that either. It has to be right here. See, when God speaks, you just, and look at your checkbook. That'll help you decide what you can do. And so he says, well, I mean, we're really, really close here, ma'am. I go, I know we're close, but that's not good enough. It's all right. It's all right. And he says, well, here, let me give you the purchase order. In those days, they were this long, you know. So he gave that to me. Well, I didn't know what the thing was. You know, I'd never bought a car before. So I said, okay, well, I'll take it. Well, it told me all about everything on it, you know, the price and everything. So I got home, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, plead the blood. Just plead the blood of Jesus over that contract. Plead the blood. So I thought to myself, now, we never pleaded the blood, Lord, unless there was demon possession. And this thing's not possessed, I don't think. But anyway, I plead the blood over that contract. Maybe the salesman was, but anyway. I said, okay, Lord. So I plead the blood over that contract. And when I got home, there was a call on my answering machine. Remember those? And so on that big old answer machine sitting on the counter. And it said, Mrs. Blaylock, this is so-and-so, whatever car lot it was. And we've got that down $50 below where you wanted it to be. So can you come back over? I just got home, but I said, I'll be right there. So I went over and got my car. So you can plead the blood. That means apply, okay? Just apply the blood over that. You could do that over anything, okay? It doesn't just have to be your sick loved one or this or that. Just hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, all right? And that'll be good enough. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you for your support and love, and I just bless you. God bless all of our guests today. We're so glad you were here with us. The Lord bless you and keep you in all you do. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful face toward you, his countenance. May the glorious countenance rest upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Thank you for being here.